Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nathan Norma, today joined once again by Mr. Herman Pretorius. Let's get into the news of the day. And there are rumblings in the city of Tane, a city which has seen some stability since the DA was kicked out of government there and Action SA and the ANC and the EFF all went into coalition to govern the city. However, that may be coming to an end, or at least the time of tranquility may be coming to an end there, with the city manager, Johan Mettler, apparently having another attempt made on his position. The ANC's Tshwane Regional Secretary has raised questions about Johan Mettler, the city manager's appointment. These issues were not raised at the time of his appointment. The ANC seems to be saying that it was sort of irregular when proper. Now, Johan Mettler is one of the best regarded civil servants in the country, and his appointment into the city of Tshwane under, I think it was the previous DA government during the time of before Brink, Randall Williams, I think was the mayor, was considered, sort of a great coup for the city of Tshwane to be able to scoop this guy up. The city manager in a municipality is the most important official. He is the guy who is ultimately responsible for actually running the thing in many ways, and he accounts directly to the mayor. So it's very important to have a really good city manager if you want your municipality to work. However, ever since his appointment, the ANC in the city has not been particularly fond of it. Now, Celiers Brink, the DA's caucus leader and former mayor, says that, quote, whatever legal pretext the ANC coalition devises, the point is that the party would prefer one of their own deployed cadres, not an independent professional. Mettler had come under attack because it was clear the city would not drop the case against the Royval Five, who were accused of an irregular tender in connection to the Royval wastewater treatment plant. Now, interestingly, apparently the Action SA has said that it is clear and consistent, we will not support the removal of any senior manager unless there is a clear, lawful, and governance-based reason for doing so. We will not compromise the integrity of governance in Tshwane for the sake of political expediency. Herman, what do you make of this story? Action SA here doesn't necessarily say these allegations are rubbish. We're not going to support the ANC's attacks on Johan Mettler, but I don't know. What's your take on how this is developing?
So I think there's an important history to appreciate here, and I think I can pick up from your intro that Mettler really is a very well-respected civil servant. He, during the financial ministry of Pravin Gordhan, Mettler was really seen as a sort of a fixer, someone that national government could parachute into really problematic municipalities. And sort of bring them in line. Tito Mboweni also called on him a few times during his tenure. He was city manager when Ethel Trollope was DA mayor of Nelson Mandela Bay municipality, really a big force of, a big part of the forcing out of some corrupt elements at the time there. And when Mettler was appointed as the Tshwane city manager, he was fresh off being rejected as the city manager for Johannesburg under the DA mayoralty of Mpho Palatse, where Action SA and the ACDP really fabricated reasons for Mettler not to be supported by the coalition. Instead, the then acting city manager, Floyd Brink, was given another chance to serve, and Floyd Brink, guy with some really questionable links to irregular security equipment tenders, the EFF, really someone who hardly fosters confidence in terms of civil service integrity. And yet Action SA and the ACDP, the nominal partners of the DA, IFP and Freedom Front Plus, and at the time COPE coalition government in Johannesburg, scuppered Mettler's appointment. It was down to Brink and Mettler. And the reason that Action SA at the end of the day opposed Mettler's appointment was that they said that there were irregular meetings between Palatse and Mettler. Now, What actually happened there was that Medler had had lunch with Mpo Palatse before being appointed to anything. Now, that's important for several reasons. Number one, as you say, if you are a mayor, you're going to work incredibly closely with your municipal manager or your city manager. So it is common practice for mayors to meet prospective appointees to their administration beforehand to make a decision as to whether they get along, whether they are aligned in their objectives, all that very, very normal above board stuff, really nothing suspect about that. And the second point is that in council, most appointments and decisions on appointments happen through the council itself. It is very rare within our council and local government structures for an appointment to be made willy-nilly by the mayor. So it wasn't as if Mpo Palatse had the ability to appoint Mettler through some obscure process. She needed the majority council support. And also there was nothing untoward about meeting with a prospective city manager. However, Action SA and the ACDP conjured these issues up as sufficient reasons to say that Mettler is a dodgy character when he quite blatantly, obviously, isn't. You can judge his track record for that. Then, at the same time, Cape Town and Tshwane had a vacancy for city manager. And some sources that I spoke to at the time in Cape Town really wanted Mettler to come to Cape Town and be their city manager. At the same time, of course, Tshwane wanted to appoint him. At the end of the day, Mettler seemingly felt that his skills were more needed in Tshwane, and he was appointed here by the DA, Action SA, Freedom Front Plus, IFP, ACDP coalition. And Sylvia Brink at the time, when he became mayor, quite blatantly said that the city of Tshwane isn't salvageable without someone like Mettler in office. We can see the role of the city manager or the municipal manager as sort of CEO of the company, where the mayor is the chairman of the board. The mayor gives the sort of overall direction, the political guidance of what should happen, and the city manager is responsible for executing that mandate or that mission. So it really is almost a co-mayoralty. You cannot have a good mayor and a bad city manager and think you will get anywhere in terms of governing a city, and probably vice versa as well. So Mettler, with a stellar track record, with a checkered past in terms of Action SA making some rather unfounded accusations against him when he was considered for the Johannesburg position, and Action SA ultimately opted for Floyd Brink, who really was a questionable character. Mettler is perhaps one of the only reasons that the city of Cape Town, the city of Tshwane has improved its fiscal standing over the last year or so. Or 2 years, or actually, because part of that has been his absolute dedication. From speaking to civil servants here in the city and to politicians, it is clear that he is a by-the-book guy, that he is tough as nails, really doesn't take anything lying down. And whilst he isn't necessarily known as a financial, fiscal, you know, wizard guy who can work magic with fiscal resources, his diligence and ensuring that proper processes are followed in procurement, in appointment, and all that has caused many frustration, or has been a source of frustration many a time, because he quite often slows down processes. But he makes sure that these processes are followed by to the letter of the law and the spirit of the law as well. So Mettler is really a commendable guy. And if the ANC, who has in the past considered Mettler of such importance that at least from a national level, the ANC had deployed him as a stellar civil servant to go and solve problems. If the ANC in Tshwane does not want Mettler in office, it is not difficult to understand why. If you are asking questions about tenders, about conflicts of interest between MECs and service providers to the city, the type of questions and due diligence that Johan Mettler is known for, I mean, the ANC's track record does sort of imply very strongly that something quite sinister and untoward sits behind this magical sudden disapproval of the appointment process of Johan Mettler.
Yes, as the reporting on this makes clear, it's none of these issues were raised at the time, and it's been 3 years. So, you know, that isn't of itself disqualifying of the allegations, but yes, no, it does make one question where exactly the concerns are coming from. So the question, politically speaking, Herman, and so far it looks like they might, but do you think that Action SA is going to be willing to sacrifice their mayor in Tshwane in order to protect Mettler?
My word, that is really a difficult question, and it is difficult for a few reasons. Number one, Mettler adds credibility to the city in terms of whether National Treasury or other sources of funding looks at the city of Tshwane or look at the city of Tshwane with any real sort of understanding or appreciation for the fact that there's someone there who will ensure that the right processes are followed. So if that goes, there will be if Mettler goes and he's sort of that bastion of integrity and credibility, there will be consequences, perhaps not earth shattering consequences, but the credibility of the city just now after 2 years of intense rescue efforts starting to seem to have stabilized, that'll be up in the air again to quite some extent, and Action SA will pay the political price for that. However, they seem to have Action SA's willingness to do almost anything to save the current mayor here in Tshwane seems to have, you know, is might always almost be inexhaustible in terms of what they've been willing to put up with in terms of the EFF and the ANC as coalition partners. However, at the same time, we do see a total breakdown of relations between ANC and Action SA in Johannesburg, and I think it is not beyond the realm of possibility that within the next 6 months or a year, Action SA might try to do a deal again with the other side of the aisle, with the DA, etc., which of course will be incredibly damaging to them, having been the people that dropped, that scuppered a relatively popular coalition to create another coalition that they were warned of would actually end up in a rather tempestuous state of suspicion, now only to go back. It really is an impossible call. I don't know. I don't know. If I were Action SA, of course I would try to keep this civil servant in place that is such an important part of the city's recovery. However, the Action SA seem to be quite pliable and fluid when it comes to the principles that they are willing to put on the table to remain in government with the ANC or not. Remember, this is the party that explicitly said before last year's elections that no vote for Action SA will ever be used to keep the ANC or put the ANC in power. Herman Mashaba said over his dead body, would Action SA ever collaborate with the ANC? This is the party that got upset that the DA wasn't clear enough in its rejection of a possible ANC-DA collaborative deal after the election. So when it comes to principles, that might not be the basis on which to judge Action SA's behavior going forward, because it doesn't seem to have been the basis of their behavior looking back.
Well, we shall watch with interest. I mean, the early signs based off of that statement I read from Action SA seems like they may at least be willing to put up a defense of Mettler, which is, I think, good, but we shall see whether they're ready to risk it all.
What I think is important to note here is that there is a real possibility that Action SA is willing to entertain innocuous things as massive procedural irregularities. They've done this before. They did this with the Kratos Power Consortium deal, where the law allowed for something called an irregular I can't remember any regular something, any regular commitment or submission or something like that, where it is just irregular in the sense that the city didn't advertise for it. It is not regular in the sense that the city advertised and people then applied. It was an unsolicited bid, and it was in that way irregular, but the law doesn't therefore describe it as being illegal. It's just because it's unsolicited. And Action SA really latched onto that word of unsolicited and irregular to pretend that the Kratos deal was something more sinister than it really was. So I wouldn't put it past them.
You
to
mean
look
like
at the process.
When they voted for the fiscal framework, even though it was going to contain ignorable regulations that would get rid of the VAT increase, but actually did no such thing.
So what I read from this statement is that they are willing to, given enough of evidence that the Mettler thing might possibly, in some bizarre interpretation of the facts, have been irregular, it seems that they would be willing to take that off-ramp to preserve their mayoralty.
Very concerning. All right, we're only going to do one more story because we've gone long on that one. This was an interesting opinion piece that I read the other day in, I think this was Business Day, by the deputy editor, Tsetso Motsoneng, who it's titled The Township Hustle Tax Temptation. I'm just going to read a little bit for it because I think it's exactly right. It starts off with Motsoneng saying, "What's not to like about eyeing SA's sprawling informal sector as the next frontier of reform? Bringing street vendors, spaza shop owners, car wash joints, and other entrepreneurs into the formal system promises alluring gains, a broader tax base, more inclusive growth, and better protection for workers. Still, forcing the informal economy into the formal mold may be the cure that kills the patient." So, you know, when we hear any talk about the informal sector and helping the informal sector to grow from government. I think our colleague Terence Corrigan has pointed this out. The helping the informal sector to grow never seems to go further than we're going to make sure they comply with all the lines, license requirements, regulations, and become formal businesses. If you want businesses to grow above a certain size, yes, that is important. But there's a reason they don't comply with those to begin with, which is that, and this opinion piece makes this quite clear, and I think it's completely correct, if you formalize these businesses, you're going to choke them with regulation. One of the reasons why they have not become formal so far is because complying with the law is onerous, expensive, confusing, and time-consuming. Herman, I think this is just another reminder that rather than trying to, you know, force everyone into our dysfunctional regulatory framework, we should be reforming that regulatory framework.
Indeed. And what is remarkable of the informal township economy is its dynamism, its durability, and the competition that is built into it at many levels. And part of that is because it operates in this gray area beyond the law in a very real sense. So instead of looking at the strengths of the formal economy and the strengths of the informal economy, and aligning them to get a pro-growth economy that is sensibly regulated, but in a light touch way, that finds the balance of pragmatism rather than dogmatism, and see that what is it that makes the township economy so resilient, so effective? Could we learn those lessons and apply it to the formal economy, and then take the good stuff about the formal economy in terms of worker protections and the structure of labor particularly, and the protections that one could get from your supply chain, and apply that instead of getting the best of both worlds and parking our economy there, saying let's get the dynamism and the safety of and combined with that, we just seem to have a cherry picking approach of thinking that if we think about if we just say that unemployment will go down, it will go down. If we just decide that poverty will end, it will end, rather than understanding that behind every little product, every service, every job that actually ends up active in the economy, there's a string of decisions in terms of at what point did it become easiest to do which thing. Water, like an economy, it'll flow. So instead of understanding that the economy, as we see it, the consumer side of the economy is really just the interface of the decisions that could be freely made behind it, we seem to have a thinking of the economy that it can be tinkered with, that it is an engine rather than an ecosystem. And that is my constant frustration, that if you were a game ranger and you said, you know, we really want more lions in our part or in our little, you know, part of the Kruger National Park or our little game farm, let's just import more lions, then you sort of miss the fact that, okay, then you need more kudu as well, probably, or you need more space, or you're going to have genetic defects because you're going to be ensuring that the aggressive bloodlines survive because there's going to be more, you know, conflict between various packs of lions. So instead of looking at it as an ecosystem, understanding that you can't just tinker here and suddenly the system is now a machine, we have this idea of saying, let's replace a few gears here and a few gears there, and we'll have the economy we want. So the informal economy in South Africa, inspirational, interesting, of course, not always wonderful. It does have its rather criminal and dangerous aspects. But if policy is going to be influenced by the informal economy, please let it be by the strengths of the informal economy exported to the rest of the economy, rather than thinking just the magical reclassification, taxation, and regulation of a dynamic economy will keep it dynamic. It's like, you know, attaching just a ton of bricks to a horse and thinking it'll still win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I was gonna use the analogy of a Olympic swimmer who suddenly tried a heavy weight too. But no, the horse thing works well too. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you found this show enlightening and interesting. And we shall be back tomorrow on the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day. The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.